Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Songs for Our Lives. I'm Brad Rose. I'm an artist, a composer, a writer, the founder of Foxy Digitalis, and somebody who thinks about music and sound far more than is healthy. Each week, I invite on a guest to talk about the songs, the music that has meant a lot to them and left its mark. Previous guests include Lucy Liu, Sarah Bell Reed, Martha Skye Murphy, Damon Locks, Claire Rousset. So many. But this week, I am over the moon to have the one, the only, Haley Four, a.k.a. Circuit Dayu. Or is it Dezu? I don't know. I always thought it was Day, but then I thought I heard it pronounced the other way. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. Haley, she's got a new album out called Halo on the Inside. It's out now. Matador. It's incredible. I been a big fan of her work for a long, long time. We talked before recording that I guess Foxy Digitalis is one of the early reviews of her work, and I was remembering, well, I'd found the weekend prior to recording a copy of her release on Night People, which is a great label run by Sean Reed back in the late 2000s, early 2010s. And yeah, it was a blast from the past, but man, been a big fan for a long time. And this record, it's kind of hit me in a whole different way than I expected. It's a different kind of beast for her. And I have such admiration when an artist just like really pushes themselves and like just, it's really puts themselves out there, you know, like really, I feel like this is kind of like there's a risk involved. Maybe there's a vulnerability to like doing something like this, like a record that kind of greatly stretches the bounds of what this project has been. And I think that is fucking awesome. So Haley on the Inside rules. Haley rules. This episode rules. Everything rules. Yeah. And you know what else would rule? If you leave a rating or review, if you like this show, wherever you listen to it, because that shit helps. And hey, also got a Patreon, patreon.com/FoxyDigitalis. You get these early, you get longer episodes, a few bucks a month, helps the cause, keeps it going. Appreciate y'all so much. And here's the episode. My guest today is a musician, a composer, a singer, an artist, a Sagittarius, I learned while prepping for this. It's Haley Four. Woo! Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Hello. It's good to be here.
I was watching that interview of you and Claire, and yeah, anyway, it was making me laugh. So your new record is out now on Matador, Halo on the Inside. And one of the things with the new record, it talked about basically experimenting with unfamiliar tools and working with different equipment processes. I'm curious, like, what kind of drew you to those things? Like, what made you want to do something new and different? And what were some of the, I don't know, the happy accidents that made it to the record?
Yeah. I guess experimentation has always been part of my creative process, but I felt like I was a little more sacrilegious with my process. Like, I just wanted to have fun, and me having fun means having new toys. I wanted to take some of the burden off myself, so using a producer was something I knew I wanted to do, which I've never done. Yeah. And so Andrew, yeah, he provided me with a folder that had, you know, like 30 beats in it. And there was always a jumping off point in that way. And I think that's why the record is maybe so, I don't know, there's less, it's dark, but there's, it's a little more candy coated.
Yeah. Like, what made you want to work with a producer this time?
Well, I just thought it'd be interesting. Yeah. And I grew from a DIY scene, and I think I was kind of burying myself under trying to do everything.
Yeah. You know? Feel that. Yeah, no, I mean, it seems like there would be this, it would be like simultaneously terrifying letting go of that, but also exhilarating.
Yeah, I mean, I think that comes at a certain point for me in my career. Not only am I a little tired, I'll admit, but I'm also like, I've got a lot of confidence in like what I naturally have to offer, and I'm really proud of my discography, and I'm just, you know, I don't have much to prove, and people are such a great tool. Not even in a transactional way, just imagination and ideas and stuff.
Yeah, no. I am curious with the record. So what, like, I don't know, when I'm doing my own stuff, I'm obsessive over sequencing. And I think the way this record is sequenced is super interesting and makes it feel even more narrative. I'm curious if there was like what thought was put into the sequencing, what role that it plays for you, if any at all.
Yeah. I'm big on sequencing. I like a lot of instrumental records, like Tangerine Dream and stuff. And I think maybe that's where I have learned the power of sequencing.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't know if there's a, I can't say that there's an explicit narrative. I think that there's a trajectory that I built, you know, and it's up to the listener to kind of, yeah, find the movie for the soundtrack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. What was the hardest part about making this record?
I deleted a lot of stuff. Like, there were so many ideas and so many collaborators and stuff. It was really hard to be like, thank you so much for your contribution. I will be erasing 98% of it. You know?
Yeah.
This was an overdubbed album. So, yeah, there's pros and cons to that, but file management, it's kind of a nightmare. I think Organ Bed had something like, I don't know, 126 tracks, which, you know, my previous albums have been recorded on an 8-track tape machine, so that was a big difference.
I've had to learn a lot about file management in the last couple of years for reasons similar, and it's overwhelming. Anyway. Okay. Well, what was like the funnest part about making this record?
It was really improvisational. Like all the vocals and melodies were things that I would basically loop something that would have been written. Maybe it's just a chorus or like a beat. And I just improvised for these sort of like, ideally it'd be like 4 hours or something, but until I hit on something, and it was really fun. I really surprised myself. Like words would come out, and I really enjoyed that process.
Yeah, that's awesome. How are you trying translating this stuff in a live setting? Because you just got done with a tour, didn't you? And you're about to go on another tour, and that's the life, I guess. But yeah, what's it been like translating this stuff live?
It's cool. I have a 4-piece band and it's pretty rock. I have an electric guitar player for the first time, and the drummer is a hybrid electronics and acoustic drum. So he's able to kind of sample stuff from the record and then play it in real time. So it has this sort of, I don't know, we can go off course if we want and come back.
Oh, nice.
It's sounding huge. And, you know, I'll have a front of house for the first time, which is big. And I'm bringing a little light show. And, you know,
nice.
I'm really proud of what we built for the tour.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, it seems like you're having fun with it. And in the year 2025, considering everything, finding moments to have fun, real fucking important. So, okay. Well, we got a lot of songs to talk about, so that aren't your songs. So let's get into it. And as always, we'll begin with what is the first song that you remember?
Okay, so I believe I said How Deep Is Your Love by the Bee Gees.
Yeah. Is this like playing in the house growing up kind of thing?
It was definitely playing in the house, but it also was like my first memory of autonomy. I think I was maybe 4 or 5, and we had a cul-de-sac where my mother could see me walk on the sidewalk without crossing the street. And I had a Fisher Price Walkman, like bright red and yellow, and had like, you know, the 2 buttons on it. And she gave me that cassette for my walk. And
oh my God.
She let me go for a walk for like, I remember I could go maybe like 10 feet, and that song was playing. And I just, it was such a cool feeling. I felt so adult. And
yeah,
you know how, listening to music and walking can transport you.
Absolutely.
So that's my first.
How deep is your love is the sound of freedom.
I know, like, it's so funny, like the lack of depth, you know, that your emotions have in that regard when you're 4.
Right. Man. I love it. My mom listened to the Bee Gees a lot growing up, which I will forever have a soft spot for the Bee Gees.
I have all their albums, man. Yeah, for sure.
Dude. So yeah, some of the songwriting on there is just insane. It's amazing. Okay. What's a song that will either make you cry or make you feel that kind of way?
Cree by Joel Leandre, is what I'm going to say.
Yeah.
And are you familiar with this song?
Yeah. I feel like Joel Leandre is like an all timer, and I feel like someone who doesn't get her due sometimes. So,
Song is really minimal. You know, the way she uses the kind of garbled, it sounds like a voicemail of someone speaking in French. And then, yeah, this mantra, like, I mean, it sounds like, yeah, it's like a deep mammalian cry, you know?
Yeah.
Just so sorrowful, beautiful.
Yeah, and the way it's like kind of all carried by that repeating chord progression, that, again, it's all super minimal, but every element feels like it has maximal impact.
The record Taxi is great.
Yeah.
Anyone listening wants to look it up.
When did you first learn about, like, discover her work?
I think when I was working for Numero Group in 2013, that was really cool, because I was already into certain private press records, but those guys, yeah, once they realized what I was into, they had a lot of stuff to show.
Yeah. I can only imagine, my God, like a fire hose.
I mean, they each have their own genres of specification, but Rob Sevier is pretty deep on ethnomusicology was one of my, it's what I went to school for. So,
oh, nice.
That was cool. Like, he was really, great record collection. And then I think he's the one that showed me Joel's music.
That's cool. Tulsa, so that's where I am at. We have, people don't know about this because it's never advertised, but so we have the Bob Dylan Center here, which whatever. But one of the things they own is Harry Smith's personal library, like all the records and books that were in his apartment when he died.
Fascinating.
It's mind blowing. It's just in a back room, and I've gotten the opportunity a couple times to look through it, and it blows my mind. So.
Wow. It's good to know. I will definitely try and see that if I ever come through Tulsa.
Yeah. Well, if you do, let me know. I know people there, so I could probably help make it happen.
Right on. Thank you.
I also want to mention, I guess maybe your runner up for this question was Kath Bloom, The Breeze. When I was prepping for this, I couldn't listen to it again, because that song just like breaks me in half. I don't know The breeze will kill me if I try to follow the path you're on. Anyway.
Yeah. And the way she sings it and yeah.
And like Lauren Conner's guitar and all of it. Just, yeah. Anyway, I had to mention it because I get like goosebumps even thinking about it.
I did too. Also, for those that don't, I mean, I'm into gossip and records, but yeah, they were lovers and they parted ways, you know?
Yeah.
So just the biographical context of heartbreak.
That record, Sing the Children, is like one of my favorite records ever made, I think. Okay. On the flip side, so I don't get all depressed and sad, what's a song that puts you in a better mood?
1 Minute Man by Missy Elliott.
It's so good.
That record's great. It starts off with this little like spoken word interlude that's really funny too. I mean, it's kind of like, I would argue it might even be like AOR, like album oriented rock. The way that record's structured.
I can see that.
It's great, man.
It is. Like, this song has got everything. It's like the groove is amazing, the production, it's funny. Mm-hmm. Ludacris shows up.
For sure.
What else? Yeah. And it still feels, I mean, because this is, I don't know what, 15 years old? I don't remember when this came out. Early 2000s, mid 2000s, but it still sounds like fresh as hell.
It's fresh to death. And Missy Elliott is such an icon, you know? Yeah, she did her own fucking thing and like knocked it out of the park.
Yeah. Man, speaking of all-timers, Missy Elliott is, yeah. Okay. What is objectively the best song of all time?
For me, I'm choosing Ronnie Spector's Try Some Buy Some. It was written by George Harrison, like in the biggest band of all time. Yeah. I don't know if you saw the Beatles documentary thing that came out during pandemic, but
yeah, I did. God,
they treat George like trash. Okay. Yeah. He's over there trying to pour his heart out with these beautiful songs. Instead, they're like letting Ringo riff on the piano.
Yeah. I remember watching that and getting really pissed off. Cause like, I've always been a George person. Like, George is my guy.
I mean, I think that's why his later, like his solo music's so great, because he had to compress so much creative energy and like let off the steam of like just not, you know, being overlooked. And so Try Some, Buy Some, I think is absolutely a gorgeous song. And the way it progresses and is constantly changing keys, it takes me on a journey that like puts me in the stratosphere, but I'm like still kind of grounded because the melody is so good.
Yeah. And then, and then Ronnie's voice is just from another plane of existence or something.
There is some deep pain in her delivery in this song, I think. Even though she's also like you said, just so full chested, like diva vibe, like her voice is amazing. But I think it's her delivery that really like gets me there.
Yeah.
It adds a complexity to the recording. Also, I mean, the production is amazing. It's too bad that Phil Spector is such a strange person. I just can't deny the, what he's captured on this track is, like the crown and the jewel for me, or sorry, the jewel in the crown for me, you know?
Yeah. It's like one of those things where you have to, separating the art from the artist. I mean, Ronnie, and you know, like all time great talent, all time horror story.
Seriously.
So like the sort of sub question for this, which you also answered, is the height of sonic achievement.
Oh, okay. I would go with Olivia Messiaen's The Ascension. And that's because I just feel like that piece is reduced to Sonics. It's an organ. It's like pushes the boundary of what an instrument can achieve. And it's one, I don't know. It's one of those pieces that just keeps opening up and up and up. There's nothing else like it, really.
And like the full type prayer of Christ ascending toward the Father is like the most badass.
I mean, spirituality comes from all different places, and you know, if that's, if that's what he's trying to depict,
I'm not religious at all, but man, listen, hearing I saw this perform live once, and that's probably as close to having a religious experience as I've had. So
hell yeah.
All right. Well, what is a song that you used to love, but now if you heard it recently, you think about it now and it doesn't quite do the same for you?
I chose Little Orphans, or maybe just called Orphans, by Teenage Jesus and the Jerks. I don't know.
This one surprised me because I still love this
song. Maybe it was just a hard time of my life, you know, like, you know how songs carry weight.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, there's something about that, you know, no wave punk music that was so formidable and important to me that, you know, it's so crystallized and like it feels like something built out of Legos. And I build things really out of, I build things out of sand now, you know?
That's like, that's me and a lot of like 90s. Like West Coast punk, pop punk.
For sure.
That shit was so formal. And now it's just kind of makes me, Little Orphans Running Through the Blood, Bloody Snow is such a gnarly lyric, though. So I have to, it's like, Jesus.
Yeah, it is. But I mean, I just have to wonder, though. I mean, I think that's my problem with Lydia Lunch, is like, I can't quite pinpoint the, where the, intention comes from.
Yeah.
I wonder if she's a little like shock value for shock value.
That's a fair point. Yeah.
Which there's a lot of different ways and reasons to make art. It's just hard for me to connect to the shock value part.
I get that. Well, what's a song that people hate? Whoever these people are, some group of people hate it, but you don't give a shit. You love it anyway.
I chose Naked in the Afternoon by Jandek because in my head it rests like, oh, we could listen to this John Lennon album, or I could just put on this Jandek album. And I forget how polarizing that can be. You know, like to me, like post-Thanksgiving meal, Jandek, like that'll help your digestive system, it'll get you sleepy.
I've kind of given up on trying to like turn people on to Jandek because I forget too that people, I don't know, I've been listening to Jandek for so long and I love Jandek, and then I forget the people, it's the looks you get sometimes, it's like, what?
I mean, yeah, there's a psychological bridge to cross, I think, when it comes to like technicality in music, and people are like, well, you know, the guitar's out of tune, or like he can't solo, or even maybe his singing voice is monotonous, but there's something really unique in it. It's a vibe, you know?
Absolutely. There's something too, like, I was talking about this with somebody about like visual art stuff the other day, and how, I don't know, I find something appealing when like it's like, oh, somebody's like, oh, I don't know what the hell I'm doing. It's like, cool, I want to see what you're doing, because you don't know what, like, you don't know what all the supposed rules are or whatever. Like, I think that's interesting. I mean, it can be very bad, don't get me wrong, but whatever. Yeah, I don't know. One of my favorite Jandek, I still remember, this was like 2004. Was that when he played live for the first time? I wasn't there. God, I wish I would have been there. But I remember it happening. So I used to, back in the day, whenever I would talk to Sarah Hennies on AOL Instant Messenger all day, like we would be at work just talking shit about everything. And word started coming out that Jandek played live. And like Sarah's the biggest Jandek fan I know. And we were just both like, oh my God, like freaking out. It was like the biggest news story of the year. It was like our 9/11 or something.
Yes.
That's maybe not, but was, maybe that's not a good comparison, but it was like the only thing for a week that we could talk about. It was, you know, and then it was like, somebody has to have a recording of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then
how'd it go?
And then he started playing. He started playing live all the time, and it became less of a thing. I mean, it's still, you know, there's still a bunch of legendary shows.
I just saw him last year, and I mean, he's old. I mean, yeah, he's like in his mid-70s, and it was phenomenal. He was dancing and reading poetry. And
yeah, like, I don't know, man. I hope when I'm in my 70s, I'm still doing whatever the hell Jandek's doing, because mm-hmm. I feel like he's got it kind of figured out. And this is the first time Jandek's come up on this show, and that kind of, I'm excited to finally happen, but it bums me out that I realize, like, no one's ever brought up Jandek. What the heck?
You know what? I met him after the show, and I asked him, like, what do you listen to? And he looked at me very sternly, and he said, I listen to the Jandek show that streams from Austin every Monday at 10 p.m. And I was like, what's on it? He's like, my music. Some fan just plays all my music. That's all I listen to. It's like, okay, this is performance art. It's gotta be.
Wow. I love that. That's, but
I wouldn't be surprised if he's Googling himself and he sees that he's on this episode and he hears it.
Yeah. There we go. So hi, Jandek, if you're listening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, if it's not Naked in the Afternoon, what is the most romantic song, and do you think of yourself as a romantic?
I am totally a romantic. Yeah, and I love to like project onto things. Like, I think every, you know, like those two trees are growing toward each other because they're in love, and you know. But I chose for the most romantic song October Love Song by Chris and Cozy.
I love this song so much. This is so good. This is such a good pick.
So, I mean, it's a great song. They met each other in Throbbing Gristle, and since, you know, started a family, bought a church in England, and continue to make music and have a studio. And supposedly, I learned this when I was reading Cozy's book, Cozy Fanny Tootie, that Chris asked her to kind of talk into the mic so he could do, you know, a level check. And what she said was this, she whispered this profession of her love and how she wanted to kiss him. And it's just this beautiful, kind of gives me chills thinking about it. She like whispers their origin story. And the song is this really cool melody. And her whispering that, they kept it in the song, and the chorus is like, together forever, together forever.
I know. And the song's like, well, like 40 years old now, and it's like, it came true.
I know. Isn't that so? It's a real testimony to the whole, like, what true love can do.
Yeah. And I feel like just musically or sonically, it just kind of feels like love and romance. Like, there's something about it. I don't know.
I like that it's fun too. It's, you know, like you really can dance with your friends to this, and
yeah,
that's cool.
All right. Well, what is a song that changed your perspective on an artist for better or for worse?
Oh yeah. This one is a little, I don't know, a little bit of a blurb. So There's a World by Neil Young. The song sucks. The song is so stupid. And it makes me angry because I'm such a Neil Young fan. I love his work. And I think what's so great about him is how everything's live and off the cuff seemingly, and there's a rawness to it. Like Live at Rust is like so cool. And then this song, apparently he worked with like some symphony orchestra. And it seriously sounds like it's from Beauty and the Beast. Like it's like a Disney overproduced. Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm talking about, right?
Oh, it's awful. It's like I had the Disney thing when you said that. I was just like, oh my God. Yeah, this is. And so now because of you mentioning that, I've had like Circle of Life stuck in my head for the last 3 days.
I mean, there's the same vibe. There's tubular bells on this, like like the part where like Belle isn't in love with the Beast yet. She's like stuck in the dining room and it's dark out. Like, and I mean, I know he went on to do some bad music like that. Like, you know, that rockabilly album or whatever. And but this one just, it was like a perfect 10 out of 10 until the song.
I know. Yeah. That's the other thing where it's like, you're listening to Harvest. It's like, yeah. And this one's like, did somebody just change the fucking record? What is going on? Like, oh my God. It is. Yeah. I feel like this is like one of those things where somehow, you know, if there's multiple dimensions, this is like another timeline where Neil Young was scoring Disney movies and somehow it bled into this timeline accidentally or something. I don't know. It's so bad.
I think it was like someone from his label, like hid in a closet. And then once everyone left the studio, like brought the orchestra in, like, or some bad management move, you know?
Yeah. That's God. It's so ridiculous.
And it doesn't make sense.
No, it makes no sense at all. Oh, God. Neil Young and Tubular Bells. Why? Okay. We talk about your favorite lyrics. Are lyrics a big thing for you? Like, can lyrics ruin a song? Like, bad lyrics ruin a song?
Not really. I don't know. Like, lyrics can really make a song for me, but if the lyrics are really bad and the track is really good, I can kind of stomach it. But that's just the way my brain works.
So what are your favorite lyrics?
So I picked Lucinda Williams from her song Fruits of My Labor. What first drew me to the song was the way she sang the lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's like, it sounds like she has marbles in her mouth and they're like barely falling. Like she can just barely sing enough to let another word fall out. And the words that I chose, like, so imagine that, you know, it's like she's had a few whiskeys and like, she's down on her luck and
got a mouthful of marbles.
Yeah. And she says, "Lemon trees don't make a sound till the branch bends and fruit falls to the ground." That's amazing. It's
amazing.
Yeah, the idea of like silent suffering and, you know, what it takes to like accomplish something or have the fruit of your labor. And I don't know. Apparently, she wrote her lyrics with her father a lot. He was a poet and he would edit with her.
Wow.
So I think about that when I listen to those lyrics.
Dang. I didn't know that. I never read that or heard that. I'm like thinking about, God, I'm trying to think of like collaborating with my dad.
Right. Like, and it's, that's really close. It's really vulnerable.
Yeah. Like, not only collaborating with your dad, but on lyrics, especially when you like heard, you know, the type of music she writes. Oh, dang. That's intense. That kind of freaks me out a little bit.
I know. It's like worse than like reading your diary out loud, you know?
It's like, it's like writing your diary. Yeah. Together. Yeah, totally. Let's collaborate on a diary. No, let's not do that. Okay. Yeah, but that's no. It is such a good line, though. Yeah, and now I can't get the picture of her like with a mouthful of marbles stuck. That's gonna be in my head the rest of the time. And it's like so ridiculous, but it makes perfect sense. And if anybody who hasn't heard the song, if you go listen to it, you'll be like, oh yeah, okay, that sounds insane, but that's right.
Yeah.
What song have you or can you listen to the most?
Green World by Brian Eno.
So are we talking like the whole album or like that specific, like the 2 minute?
I love the whole album, but that if that song was on repeat, I think I'd be okay with it. It's kind of endless, you know?
Yeah. God, the whole thing is,
Yeah. He did something really special with those first few albums, just the way he interpolates transitions of songs with certain tape. Things are kind of looped and soft, and he really was great at towing the line of experimenting, but also it's such a soft edge,
And I always think there's like, actually I was thinking about this with your new record too, like this, I being able to have, it's not just, it's like a bunch of different ideas or styles, for lack of a better word, like being able to put it together in this like cohesive way that makes sense, and nothing, because I don't know, like I've heard records where it's like they're doing a bunch of different interesting things, but it just, it's kind of jarring and not, it doesn't feel cohesive. I think it's really hard to do that. And yeah, so that, tying it to your record, like that's one of the things I was thinking about listening to this record, is like, oh, like this is, you know, like one of the things, like Anthem, like early on when I first heard your stuff, I was like, man, I want to hear her like sing with like Sun. And then like part, like Anthem of Me, it's like, that's, there we go. This is kind of in there. So anyway,
that's great. Thank you. That's so awesome.
The Someday Circuit Day-U Sun collaboration, just, that should happen.
Yeah. I would be so happy. I mean, I know Stephen. He's a really nice guy. Busy. Smart.
Yeah.
We'll see.
But yes, Green World. I could also listen to this forever and ever and never get tired of it. Okay, best hype song?
Oh, Von Dutch by Charlie XCX. Or... Yeah. I also chose Humans Being by Van Halen.
Yeah, that kind of came out of nowhere. That's like late era Van Halen too, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah.
I couldn't remember the last time I heard that, and I was listening to it today. I was like, man, I don't know. I'll listen to Eddie Van Halen like shred any day of the week.
Yeah, no, that song's for like when you're like lacing up your sneakers and you're about to go like lift the heaviest truck off the ground, or like, you know, like you're really trying to like push your like human abilities to the edge, and then like Charlie XCX Von Dutch is about like getting dressed up and putting makeup together, and like, you know, you're like, I look great, like I've got this.
Yeah. I feel like I got a lot of like Charlie XCX tracks on like my get hyped playlist when I'm trying to, like, there's a lot of good ones. And even for I was listening to Vroom Vroom the other day, and she's like, God,
I know, the simplicity of it all, and like, and she still has an edge. That's what I like about it. She's really great. She's really,
yeah. But Van Halen, Humans Being. I just like that was the Van. I still love that, like, that was the Van Halen song. It made me so happy. Like, wasn't like, you know, Jump or something, which is another good song to get hyped to, but there is something about this track. I could, want to go pump some iron.
I mean, I used to like be really into playing soccer, actually, when I was a young teenager, and this is the song I would listen to and like put my cleats on and be like, I'm gonna fucking win this game, you know?
Oh, I love that. That's great. Hey, and yeah, I'm
thanks, Dad. Thanks, Dad.
Okay, last two questions, the two big questions. What is the song that means the most to you? And not necessarily the song itself, but because you associate it with something or someone that is very important to you.
I chose Razor Love by Neil Young.
We come full circle here with Neil. This is why Neil is Neil. The song is amazing.
He sings in this like really high falsetto that I've never really heard him sing on. And it's his voice, you know, it's like wavering and sounds like a twig about to snap. And he just sounds so small and vulnerable.
Is there like a story that behind like something you associate this song with, or is it just?
Yeah. I mean, somebody, yeah, some, you know, it starts off as a mixtape and then it becomes like a love song between you and your partner. And then they play a lot. They play like a show to hundreds of people. And then they end their set with this song and like dedicated it to me.
Oh, man.
And, you know, it's like this beautiful nugget of, a little gossip there, I guess.
Yeah. That's like the dream.
I know. You can like really weaponize a song like in the name of love. And this is like, that's the ultimate.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the first things. So. My partner, we've been together for 22 years now. One of the first things I ever did was I made her a CD of songs that remind me of you, and we still have it. And I don't know if it plays anymore though, because you know CDRs kind of lose their.
You should try. That's beautiful. Congratulations! Yeah. It's a really long time. It's a long journey. Yeah,
it's a long. I was thinking about it the other day. I've had a lot of people reaching out to me like, "Are you okay? I feel like you've been." Talking about like how long things have been. I'm like, no, no, no. Because like I found the first ever print. So Foxy Digital started as a print zine when I was in high school. And I have like a copy of the first issue. And so like next year will be the 30th anniversary of Foxy Digital. So I was like, oh, holy shit, I'm old. But
that's amazing. Yeah. Congratulations. Yeah. Are you going to bring the print format back, you think?
I think I got to figure out what all, because I'm like 30 years, I got to do something. So I definitely want to do like a print edition. And then I don't know. I feel like I got to do something else, but I don't know what that is yet. But I got a year to figure it out. So
yeah, you should. It's great.
But anyway, that story is, I can relate to that because again, like, yeah, that CD. And I feel like sharing a song with somebody like that is just. At least for someone like me, people like us who are fucking music nerd people, like music is everything. Man, it's the best. It's the best.
Yeah.
And it can be the worst too sometimes. It can, you know, ruin a song, but generally it's the best.
No, it is the way it can communicate the depth of something that words fall short on.
Yeah. All right. Last question. What is, at least in this moment in time, but maybe this is always your answer, but what is your favorite song?
I Walk a Thin Line by Fleetwood Mac.
Hell yes.
I love it.
So good.
What do you like about it?
I like that. It's, I don't know, like there's something about, so... I had this conversation on a very early episode of the show, how like Fleetwood Mac is this sort of like choose your fighter band and you can learn a lot about like who's your and like Lindsay's my guy. I fucking love Lindsay Buckingham. He's insane. And like, I think I would have a hard time. I would not want to be in a band with him probably because of the chaos and but from a distance, but like this song is so like the harmonies and it's the way it's just kind of like, there's like this inevitability about it where it's like just like gently marching forward and it's like it's delicate but inevitable. I don't know. I love this song so much. It's like one of my favorite Fleetwood Mac songs, and I don't feel like I was really excited that you picked this because I don't know that anybody else who loves this song like I love this song.
That's great. Yeah, it feels like it's barely being held together. I'm not even sure how it works, but yeah, I love the lyrics. I love the drums. I think Lindsay, I heard, like, did him at his house with, like, cardboard boxes.
Yeah, I read some story where, like, he's playing, like, those, like, drum rolls and stuff, and how Mick Fleetwood, like, was really pissed off about it. Right. He was like, no, people are going to think this is me. Like, chill out, dude. It's just like, yeah, that delicacy of it all. Like you said, it feels like it could fall apart at any minute.
And I have to sing along to it. Like, I can't not when it's playing.
Yeah. So are you a Lindsay person? I mean, I got a lot of love. Like, I got a lot of love for everything about Fleetwood Mac, but.
Yeah. I like Lindsay. He cracks me up. Like, that record, Go Insane.
Yes.
Yeah. He just is really on the nose. And doing way too much blow.
Well, I was gonna say that record, it's just like, man, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
But no, his productions are so awesome, you know, just the way, yeah, he's so detailed and everything's kind of sped up and real crispy sounding.
Yeah, and I feel like he makes all these choices too that I would never. It's just like, if he came to you and was like, all right, we're gonna do this, you'd be like, what the fuck are you talking? But then, oh yeah, okay, it totally works.
Yeah, totally. He's a genius. Yeah, I like to synthesize. Like, he messed around with a lot of synthesizer stuff early on and to varying effect, you know.
I know. I bet he's got like some like weird experimental synth records in his vault.
That's a good call. Yeah.
Maybe, yeah. No, like, this is, oh, it's such a good song. Have you heard the, like, Mick Fleetwood version?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, it's like he recorded it with some, it's like his band. I think half of them were, like, these, like, African musicians.
Cool.
It's not as cool as it sounds on paper. But it doesn't have the magic of this. Like, this is, it's a perfect song. It's, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Here, here.
Well, awesome. Can't end it better than with I Walk a Thin Line. So so you're about to go on tour again, right? Soon?
Yeah. I'm touring quite a bit. I'm doing a headlining tour starting on the East Coast and going all the way to the West Coast and then out to Europe. God. And that starts April 15th in Minneapolis. I don't think we're playing your parts of town, the country rather, but anybody listening can find all my tour dates on the googles.com, you know?
And I'll put a link. I'll find it. Thanks. And all that. So, well, this was a hell of a lot of fun. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah. And thanks for having me.
Lindsay Buckingham forever. Once again, thank you to Haley for doing this. Oh man, it was so good. Hey, nothing better than nerding out about Fleetwood Mac, specifically Lindsey Buckingham at the end there. God, fucking love Lindsey Buckingham. What a madman. Halo on the Inside out now. Follow the link in the show notes to listen to all her picks. There's a playlist. Also links to her show, tour dates coming up. Go see her if you can. I'm bummed that I'm probably not going to get to this round, but hey, never know. Maybe down the road. Yeah. Halo on the Inside. One of my favorite things this year so far. Man, it's going to be there in the end. It's a hell of a record, and it just keeps getting better. All right. Thank you all for listening. Leave a rating. Leave a review. Join the Patreon. Do something. I don't know. The world is burning. So just keep being here and being there and being with each other. And while you're doing it, keep on listening to whatever the hell you want.